It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, we praise you. We praise you for so many things, including the opportunities to come into your presence like this, to worship corporately like this. We praise you for that, O God. I praise you for all that have come. I praise you for the other churches that are gathering in our region, in our nation, around the globe. And I pray, O God, above all else, that your Spirit would lead us. And I pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. We have come to worship you, O God. We have come to worship you because you are worthy. And we have come this morning, as we have just sung, with open hearts, to see afresh and anew from your word, to receive from your Spirit your word, and to be challenged and moved to be the people of God that you would have us to be. A lot of names on our prayer focus, Lord, you know full well. Some are fighting cancer, some are recovering from surgery, some have lost their loved ones. We just lift them all up to you and pray and ask that you would take care of them. And we pray again for the condition of our nation, Father, even our neighbors, perhaps family members, perhaps co-workers, perhaps people that sit in churches are still not sure of their walk with Jesus. May we in the church be used by you, O God, as the hands and feet of Jesus to minister to these our friends, neighbors, family, co-workers, whoever they are. Be glorified in our midst this morning, Father. Thank you for the testimonies of those that want to be baptized today. They have decided to follow Jesus. And they want to be baptized today to give witness to that decision to follow Jesus. Thank you for them. Bless them. Guide them in this walk, this journey. Guide us as we look at your word this morning by your Spirit, O God. May you be glorified through and in all of it, we pray, in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I told the service earlier that I had a sermon already early in the week. And then that sermon was called Very Ripe Fields. And then on Thursday morning, like I've been doing for years, Charles and I join other pastors on Thursday morning to pray. And as my brothers were praying, and I was just listening to the Spirit and to their prayers, and I sensed that God was telling me, you need to make an adjustment. I'm glad he gave me a couple of days to think that through. Instead of Saturday night, that would have been tough. But I decided, okay, Lord, I think this is from you. And so I made the adjustment. So I threw out half of that sermon, and I changed it completely in the second half. And so now I call today's sermon, Very Ripe Fields and a Very Real Enemy. Most of the time, I talk about baptism on this day. But I opted not to talk about baptism today because I believe the topic that we're going to talk about is relevant for this hour. So let me start with this to begin to paint the picture for us. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, and we know his words are true when he said, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." The wide gate, the broad road. And I want us to consider for a little while today Do we see what Jesus saw? Do we see what Jesus sees in the condition of America today and around the world? You say, well, Jim, we're not supposed to be judgmental. No, we're not. But Jesus was pretty direct in this statement when he said to us that there's a whole lot of folks on the broad road, and that broad road leads to destruction and hell. And then we say, well, Jim, I don't like to talk about hell. Well, Jesus spoke a lot about it. And I'm simply asking us today, friends, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, do we feel what Jesus felt? Do we see what Jesus saw? And I would take it even a step further for the 21st century church, particularly in America, because that's where we live. Do we see, do we feel, and do we care about those on the broad road that leads to destruction? And so I want us to think about that for a minute. And I want us to also then consider what Jesus said in Matthew 9, just a few short chapters later. This will be on the big screen if you've got your Bible, Matthew 9, 36 to 39. I want us to revisit it for a specific reason. I'm going to put all these things together. It doesn't seem like it's all going together, but it will. And so he's reminded us that there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and there's a whole lot of folks on it. And in Matthew 9, 36 through 39, Jesus said, but the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, that's Jesus, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And when I read these kind of verses, I see, and there's many more. I was going to turn to John chapter 4 also in this series, but that's when the Lord changed that direction. I added something else. But when I read these kind of verses that God in the flesh said that there's this massively broad road and there are untold millions and billions of people on it. And then he says to us in Matthew 9, he says he looks out on those masses. He looks out on them with a weariness, with a burden. Because there they are, like sheep with no shepherd. And I wonder, brothers and sisters, do we see what he sees? Do we feel what he feels? Do we care? And I know the arguments because I've had them, I've used them, and I've heard them. Well, I do care, Jim, but I really don't know what to do. Or, I do care, Jim, but I'm really not an evangelist. Or, I do care, Jim, but I'm afraid of rejection from my own family when I tell them about Jesus. And with that, I would say you are correct in those assumptions that we are not all evangelists, we are not all proclaimers of the gospel, we are not all missionaries, but I would submit to you this. If you have been born of God, you still with me? John chapter 3. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he will never see the kingdom of God. And so when we have been born of God, that's a supernatural thing that happens within our spirit. We get off of the broad road and we get on the narrow. That's good news. And we have a story of redemption. And so I would submit you are probably right in your rationale and your arguments, and I've had them too. I don't know what to do. I'm not an evangelist. For many years I said, I'm not a preacher and I'm not going there. I'm afraid of rejection. But when you have been born of God, you have a redemption story. And that story is worth telling to someone. You don't know who God will put in your path someday, co-worker, family members, community member, neighbor. All he's asking you and I to do is tell your story, and he will take it from there. The harvest fields are ripe. Friends, I'm 61 years old, and I have never seen conditions in America like this. The harvest fields are ripe. And it is time that the church of God recognize that people of God, followers of Jesus, it is time, it is way past time, we recognize the fields are ripe. Jesus said when he was, John chapter 4 happens to be a story that we call it the Jesus at the well, Samaritan woman at the well story. And at the end of that story, Jesus says to the disciples, I say to you, look around you. The fields are already ripe with harvest. And I think he's saying that to us again today, brothers and sisters. And I realize that we can say, well, I don't have that dramatic a story to tell. I'm telling you, friends, if you were on the broad road, and we all were at one point, and you have gotten off the broad road and gotten onto the narrow road because of the blood of Jesus, the grace of God, and your faith in the Son of God, you have a story. Amen? You have a story. In Mark chapter 5, I love that story when Jesus crosses the sea and he gets to the Gadarenes and he encounters this demon-possessed fellow. You remember the story, I'm sure. And he casts out these legion of demons. They go into the swine, they bear all over the hill, they go into the sea, they're all drowned. You know the story. But what I love about that story, what did Jesus tell him? Because after the story is starting to get to the end, and we start to conclude it, the Bible says the demoniac was clothed and in his right mind. Opposite of what he used to be when he was naked and not in his right mind. And he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus was about to depart back across the sea, and this man wanted to come with him. He wanted to follow him. And Jesus said to him very simply, Mark 5:18, go home to your family, tell him how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. That's what he asks of us. Tell your story of redemption. The story is so simple, like the story we sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. That's our story. And God can use your story when he puts people in your path, when we will share that story with them. And I realize we can make up arguments about that too. Well, Jim, I'm really not that dramatic. I didn't have a legion of demons cast out of me. I'm simply telling you, friends, if you were lost and now are found, you have a story to give God glory and to tell others, and he can use it from there. Okay, so in this first part, I was preparing this sermon about the harvest fields being ripe and how Jesus said we need to pray to the Lord of harvest, and how in this Mark 5 example he tells us we need to tell our story. And in the John 4 example, he reminds the disciples again, look around you because the fields are ripe for harvest. I want to blend that all together with more of what to do. But here's where I change directions. So instead of continuing on that path, I now turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And you know what's there as well as I do. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And I'll tell you why I jump ship like this in a moment. Actually, I didn't jump ship. I just kind of shortened up my first sermon and made two little ones out of one. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13, the Apostle Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he reminds us, friends, as we have put on Christ, as he reminded the church at Ephesus, when we have been born of God, we're in a spiritual war. We're in a battle. When we have been born of God, we are no longer wrestling, as he says here, against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, he says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, in that evil day, and having done all to stand. You say, Jim, what in the world has this got to do with what we were just talking about? Why do I jump here today? Friends, the church in America, and perhaps around the world, I'm more in tune with the church in America and North America than the world, but the church in America today is so preoccupied with COVID-19. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying our minds are so occupied with coronavirus, with rioting in the streets, with killing on a whim, and hatred between peoples. Might be color, might be they wear a badge. We're so preoccupied with those kind of things. And if that was enough, we throw in this week in Minnesota mandatory face masks. We are so preoccupied in America, and I would submit to us even to a degree in the church, we cannot see the harvest fields anymore. They are ripe. We have lost sight of the fields because we have gotten so preoccupied with all the other stuff that's going on around us. Exactly, I might add, the way the enemy would have it. Jim, get all caught up in wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. Get all caught up in the rioting. Get all caught up. And I'm not saying this stuff isn't real. I'm just saying if we in the church are not careful, we will get caught up in these things and we will lose sight of the instruction of Jesus and reminds us the harvest fields are ripe for harvest and he has commissioned us to be about the harvest. If we aren't careful, we will be too preoccupied with other stuff to care. I think I said this earlier this spring. I don't even know if anybody was here or if I was preaching to an empty sanctuary. But I'll say it again. There's nothing the enemy of our souls likes better than to have a divided church. Because when he gets the church divided, you and I, brothers and sisters, and other brothers and sisters all over our region in America, when the enemy gets a wedge in and begins to divide and to conquer, we get so preoccupied. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying this is the way the enemy works. We get so preoccupied with the daily things, face masks today, riots yesterday, COVID-19 the day before, and a multitude of other stuff. We start to take sides and we start to take issue. And when the enemy of our souls gets a church divided, he's laughing all the way to the proverbial bank in hell while the church is battling amongst themselves and we don't have a clue that the harvest is ripe outside our doors. That's what the enemy tries to do. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, Paul said, but against wickedness and darkness and powers of evil. I've seen a fair amount of debate online about face masks and coronavirus and I'm not taking sides. I'm just telling us, brothers and sisters, when the enemy of our souls can get the people of God at each other, at odds, fighting, whether I wear a face mask or whether I don't, we lose sight. I'm just using face masks because that's the newest one, but there's so many I could pick. We lose sight that the harvest fields are falling off the vine ripe. The broad road that I referred to earlier is still broad and still full. And when we, the people of God, have lost sight of that, how are we, the people of God, ever going to help anyone? And you might argue this, well, God don't need me. He don't need me. But he has put people in place to tell others the good news of Jesus. He didn't need Moses to take the people out of Israel either, Egypt either, but he did. He uses people, you and I, to encounter everyday people and tell them the good news of Jesus, to tell them our story. The Father of all lies likes nothing better than to divide the church on skin color. Are you hearing me this morning? Dr. Tony Evans, wonderful man of God, pastors a large church in Dallas, written a lot of books. I've heard him speak personally. He happens to be a little darker skin color than I am. And he reminds us the greatest segregation in America on Sunday mornings is church. I'm simply giving us some examples, friends. The enemy will use things to divide the church and get us all upset and get us all hung up, so much so that we forget right outside, all around us, in our co-workers, in our family, in our neighborhood, and sometimes in our churches, the harvest fields are so ripe. But we have gotten hung up on someone's skin color. Exactly the way the enemy would have us. And I remind us, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, but against rulers of darkness. We don't need to condemn each other for our opinions about masks. I've seen all kinds of stuff, and I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, we don't need to go there. You have an opinion, I have an opinion. That's fine. But let us not allow these things to divide. There's too much at stake. The harvest fields are too ripe. We don't need to condemn someone because they say, I can't wear one. We don't need to condemn one that says, I need to. As believers, as followers of Jesus, we need to be aware of the harvest fields. And if you encounter somebody at work or your neighbor or your family member that is actually legitimately afraid of coronavirus and feels compelled to do that, then offer prayer for them. Not condemnation. The enemy will use these things to defy the church. Some of you heard 2 weeks ago when we gathered together that I was talking about the conditions of America and society in general. And I referred to Amos chapter 4, how God will give us wake-up calls. Do you remember that? Anybody that was here? Thank you. One person does. I told the earlier service, as long as no one remembers, we could do that again next week. I could do that. Let me just say this about Amos 4 again. And I remind us of this. I remind us of Amos 4 because I'm just simply saying to you, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to get hung up in wearing a face mask or not. Charles has told us our position from our church, and we've heard the governor's statement. You've also heard from us. We're not going to ask you of your condition, why you're not. We're not going to do that. But I submit to us again for a moment, Amos chapter 4. If you don't know what Amos 4 is, let me say really briefly that God sent Amos to the northern tribes with a message. And it was a very stark reminder. And God said, I sent famine amongst you. I sent pestilence to your crops. I killed some of your young men in war. I sent to you, like I did, the plagues of Egypt. 6 times in Amos chapter 4, God said, I did that. And at the end of each of those statements, those of you that are here the other day, those of you that know Amos chapter 4, remember, do you remember what the statement was? Still, you did not return to me. God had said to his people, I love you. And the Bible tells us, I said this then, I'll say it again, God chastens whom he loves. Why? To wake us up, to bring us back to himself. That's what he was doing in Amos 4. I did this because I wanted you to wake up and return to me. And over and over and over in Amos chapter 4, he said, but still you did not return to me. Have you considered for a moment, brothers and sisters, that all of this stuff going on around us is God ordained, or at a minimum, God allowed to wake us up to draw nearer to him and be used of him to recognize the broad road is full, the harvest fields are ripe, and we are too preoccupied with other stuff. Have we considered for a moment that God is using this to say, wake up, my children. I want to put you into the harvest field for his good and his glory, and to redeem people off of that broad road and put them on the narrow road. I want to use the church to do that. This might seem a little too simplistic, but I see the harvest fields as too ripe to be arguing whether you should or I should or should not wear a mask. I want people that need them or want to use them, I want them to feel comfortable here. We're not offering condemnation to anybody that wears or doesn't wear. But I'm saying when we get all wrapped up and all we can think about is my opinion and my position and my rights, we lose sight of the harvest field. The harvest fields of souls all around us are lost and dying and going to hell. And I'm wondering, and I'm asking us again today, do we feel and see what Jesus saw and felt when he was here? Are we wearied because the sheep haven't got a shepherd? Are we burdened because the broad road is full? Or are we too involved and preoccupied with the things of today to see the ripeness of the fields? I want to close with this, and we'll sing a song in conclusion. 2 points that I pulled together from these two mini messages rolled into one. The fields of America are as ripe as I've ever seen them. And I'm talking about spiritual condition in souls. They're as ripe as I have ever seen them. And if the church doesn't engage in the harvest, then who do we expect is going to? How are people going to get off the broad road onto the narrow road unless we love them, pray for them, share with them our story, invite them to Jesus? And the other thing that I conclude with, when the enemy of our souls has gotten us all tensed up about earthly things, we aren't likely to see the harvest very well anymore. We aren't likely to care for the harvest anymore the way Jesus did and does. Some of you are farmers and you know this very well, better than some that aren't. But you can talk to the farmers, and you've been aware of this when you drive around the countryside too. When the harvest is ready and the combine is broke, the harvest isn't going to go well. You still with me? Friends, I'm telling you, the harvest is ready in America. And if the church is broke because the enemy of our souls has got us wrapped up about this, that, and that, if the machine of the church is broke, the harvest isn't going to happen the way God wants it to happen. If the combine is broke, the harvest at a minimum is going to get delayed, and some of it might fall to the ground and be wasted. And if the harvest machinery is completely out of commission, it may never happen. The same is true with the church. If we are not led by the Holy Spirit of God, and we allow the enemy of our souls to move us away from focusing on what God would have us to focus, the harvest ain't going to happen the way God wants it to happen. It just isn't. You say, Jim, he don't need me. He don't need anybody else to save. He uses people to engage people. He uses you and I. And when we offer a prayer, when we offer our story, God does bring the increase, I assure you. But he uses people, us, to see those harvest fields and to love them and to pray for them and to tell our story to them or to pray about their fears or their health condition or whatever else. He uses the church to draw people unto himself. And so I simply ask us today, friends, don't allow the enemy of our souls to get you and I so wrapped up, so tensed, so self-focused that we lose sight of the harvest. The harvest fields are ripe. I believe it's a time like never before for the Church of America to pray, to seek the face of God, to be available by God, to be used to love your neighbor. Maybe tell him your story. Maybe a simple story like, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And let God use your story to work on that harvest. But he needs us to be involved in the things that he's asked us to be involved in. Praying to him, loving our neighbors, telling our story, just like the demoniac. Go home and tell your family the good things that God has done for you. When we do that, God will take it from there. Praise team or whoever is leading, we're going to stand and sing this closing song together. Then Pastor Charles will close us in prayer. And as he said earlier, we are going to go over here to the landing, and we're going to baptize some folks today. It's always a wonderful occasion. We're outdoors. I'll not be wearing a mask out there, nor do you have to. We'll keep aware of our social distancing. But it's always a wonderful occasion to baptize people because it's an outward witness of an inward decision. And so you're invited to that. And if Charles and I will be looking around here, and if we see collectively that people aren't taking time for lunch and we're all ready, we'll just go. We'll do what you want to do. But I want to say one more time, friends, recognize the battle that we're in is real. And God is calling the church to wake up. He might even be saying, I've sent these things for you to wake up. Let us not be too preoccupied to miss the harvest.
And as we depart, let us pray. Loving Father, we recognize now as we do depart, we are truly indeed entering the mission field. We ask, Heavenly Father, a special portion of discernment from your Holy Spirit this week to give us just discernment in our hearts that in the conversations we have and the encounters with others this week, that there is a way, there is that moment that we can bring you into the conversation. Help us, Father, to be spiritually aware of our surroundings, of the harvest, of those who desperately need to hear what we have to say in the power of the Holy Spirit because of your word in us, your Son Jesus emanating from us. So help us to be aware this week that every encounter is a God encounter, that we can bring you into that situation with hope, with love, and with assurance of your presence with us to give us the words we need to say. Help us to be in that position spiritually and physically this week and always, in Jesus' name. Amen.